Good morning, everyone. The stars have now arrived, so we can begin. You're very welcome to our service this morning. And just before we do begin properly, let me share with you a few announcements. First of all, the elder announcement. Today I announced the following names who received the required number of votes at our congregational meeting last Lord's Day. Gary Hill, Cheryl Mulwinney, John McLean and David Mulligan. These folks now become elders elect and they'll begin a 6-month programme of training and interviews in preparation for their ordination and installation as elders of Greystone Road Presbyterian Church. So I'm going to encourage you, please uphold these folks in your prayers in the coming weeks and months as they begin this training, as they're interviewed and then as we work towards the installation and ordination, probably in early June time. You'll find, hopefully as you come in this morning, announcement sheets, hard copies are in the vestibule, and hopefully you've received a copy if you need a copy. But just to highlight a couple of things for you, first of all, the carol service, please join us at 4 p.m. This evening for our annual carol service. The folks have put a lot of work in by way of preparation, and we'll have folks from all generations taking part. It promises to be a very special time for our church family. So please do join us at 4 o'clock and there'll be festive treats after the service. And then our Christmas Day reflection. We'll gather on Christmas Day at 10:30 for a short time of praise and reflection as a church family. There'll be carols, some fellowship and maybe even a story from Eunice and her friends. So please do join us at 10:30 on Christmas Day. And then a reminder of our festive get-together on Monday the 29th at 7 o'clock in the church hall. A time it'll take the form of a traditional social with Embrace socials, and there'll be a light seasonal supper as well. But all our announcements are again on the sheets, on the screens, on Facebook and on the website as well. We've come to worship God, and we do so first of all as we listen to him speak to us, as he addresses us in his word. In Micah 5, we hear these words. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. Today the boys and girls of Primetime are going to take us to Bethlehem to see what happened there 2,000 years ago. In that little, insignificant town, God gave the greatest gift of all, his Son, Jesus Christ. Today we gather to celebrate the greatest gift and give God praise that he alone deserves. And we do that, first of all, as we sing his praise, O little town of Bethlehem. Thank you.
to the Primetime Nativity Service. Today we are doing things a little differently and the order of the service may be a bit jumbled up. We thank you in advance for your patience as we move between scenes, reading prayers and praise. Olivia Mulligan will bring us our opening prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing everyone safely to church this morning, and we are able to praise you. Help all the boys and girls taking part in the Nativity, and thank you for the leaders and helpers in prime time for all they teach us about you. Help us to remember that you, Jesus, are the reason we celebrate Christmas, and thank you for all you do for us all. Amen.
Welcome everyone. Today we'll hear the story of the greatest gift ever given, when God sent his son Jesus into the world. But this story began long before Bethlehem.
Isaiah chapter 9 verses 2, 6 and 7. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of deep darkness, and a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty has accomplished this.
Many years later, God sent a son, an angel, to a young woman named Mary.
Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you.
What kind of greeting is this?
Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.
How will this be, since I am a virgin?
The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail.
I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail.
Soon after, Mary and Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem for a census.
Luke chapter 2 verses 1 to 5. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went there to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
Mary, it's a long journey, but we must go.
I trust God will take care of us.
Bethlehem was so crowded and there was no room at the inn.
Excuse me, do you have any room?
Sorry, Raphael.
Please.
No room tonight.
Please. My wife is about to have a baby.
There's a stable right back.
It's not much space for.
Thank you, we'll take it.
Luke chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Out in the fields nearby, shepherds were watching their sheep.
Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Yes, God has told us something amazing.
Our next praise piece is "While the Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night."
Star in the sky.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them,
where the Messiah was to be born, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then King Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report back to me so that I may go and worship him. After they had heard the King Herod, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down to worship him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gold of gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
We bring gold.
Frankincense for your holy. And myrrh for you will save your people.
Our next praise piece will be We Three Kings. Please stand and join us if you are able.
Jesus came to bring peace, hope, and love to the world. He is God's greatest gift.
For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
This baby is the savior of the world.
Let's tell everyone the good news.
Jesus is the greatest gift.
Chris will now bring us the epilogue for today.
Well, let me get myself sorted here. Well, before I bring the epilogue, first of all, a couple of thank yous. First of all, thank you, boys and girls. You all did really well. You read really clearly. You knew your parts, and you did so well. And thank you also to Claire and to Greystone Primary, who supplied the costumes for us as well. You're all looking so well today, and you played your part so well. So I think we can give them all a round of applause, first of all. And then, second of all, thank you to the AV folks, folks at the back there, whether it's the PowerPoints or the sound and everything else. Thank you, because so often we only look to you whenever something goes wrong, but you work away. I know you were here yesterday preparing as well. So thank you to you folks as well. And then finally, thank you to Claire and to the Primetime leaders for all the work that's been put in. I know that Claire's been planning this since way back in the summertime, because I got emails at that stage and I thought to myself, Christmas? That seems so far away, but it flies by. So thank you to Claire and to the Primetime leaders. They weren't just here today, they weren't just here yesterday, but for the past few weeks they've been practicing, so we want to thank them as well. So again, can we give a round of applause to everyone involved this morning? Now, as we begin to bring everything together this morning, I want us to turn, and you don't have to necessarily look it up, but if you want to, 1 John chapter 3, it's on page 1226 of our Pew Bibles. I want to read a few verses from this, which will hopefully tie together all that we've been thinking about today and for the last couple of weeks, as we've been thinking about the Christmas story as it comes to us in John's Gospel. But we turn to another book, another letter that John wrote, and we hear God's word. This is God's word, John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. And we thank God for his word. Now, we've just heard those very famous words from the Gospel according to John, John 3:16. We can probably all know them off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. These are perhaps the most famous words in all of God's word, probably only second to "in the beginning," because we know these words so well. We've learnt them probably whenever we were children off by heart, maybe for a Sunday school prize or maybe for a BB scripture exam. We know these words so well. And because these words are so famous, we can often lose sight of their truth and importance. Familiarity, it says, breeds contempt, or at least ignorance. So for a few moments, I want us to think about these verses, what they truly mean, and why they're important. Perhaps we can only really understand these words by considering two verses that we find at the beginning of John's Gospel, words that we read last week. In verses 12 and 13 of John chapter 1, it says, "To all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God." I love these verses. I've been thinking about them since I read them last week. I love them because they help us to really understand what John 3:16 is all about. You see, I'm sure we've heard John 3:16 and thought, really, it's about avoiding hell or getting to heaven. And of course, it is about those things at one level, but there is so much more to it. In fact, John 3 and all of John is about showing us how following Jesus, trusting him as Lord and Saviour, leads to fullness of life now and forevermore. To put it another way, when we listen to John's Gospel, we hear God call us to know and to enjoy the blessings of being his children. But what does that mean? Well, let me explain it by asking you a question. What does God think of you? What does God think of you? Now, rightly, you'll probably answer, God loves us because of what Jesus has done for us at the cross. And that is the right answer. If you put that down in your BB scripture exam, you'd get 100%. But I wonder if deep down, we often feel like more like God is tolerating us. Perhaps we wonder if God really does love us. Perhaps we wonder if we've exhausted his patience, used up all our second chances. Perhaps we think he might just change his mind about us when he figures out just how messy we really are. I know I've often felt that way. Today, maybe for too long, we felt that God simply puts up with our weakness, our sin, our ugliness, simply because of Jesus. Perhaps we wonder if he will only accept us because he has to. Well, today, listen to the gospel, the good news according to John. We read it in John 1, we read it in John 3, but we also read it in John 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Those verses we just read, it says, "See what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." When we read these verses, that there's no sense that Jesus has twisted God's arm. God the Father does not grudgingly give in to Jesus and say, "Okay, if I really have to love these people and accept them, well, I guess I will." No, the teaching of God's word is, in fact, that salvation begins with God the Father. Salvation is his plan. It begins with his gracious love, a love that is lavish, more than enough, overflowing, overpowering. God the Father has given us the right to become children of God. If we were to translate 1 John 3 literally, it would say this: see from what country the love of God has come. In other words, this kind of love is out of this world, like nothing we have ever seen or experienced. And remember, John writes these words as he ponders what he's already written in John chapter 1. In John 1, we learn that Jesus came to earth to make a way for us to be children of God. At the very start of John's gospel, his good news, we are told that we can have the fullest life possible when we trust in Jesus as our Saviour and we follow him as our Lord. So we have fullness of life when we join the family of God. This is our great right and privilege when we trust in Jesus. This is the great gift, the greatest gift that God gives out of the riches of his lavish love and amazing grace. Our loving Father in heaven gives us the greatest gift, himself, and the most wonderful privilege, welcome into his family and life forever. But to paraphrase Spider-Man, with great privileges come great responsibilities. We've been given this wonderful gift, fullness of life in the family of God, but in response there are things that we must do. The first thing we do is simple. We believe that we are children of God through God the Son. We must trust that only in what Jesus has done at the cross. We must not trust in how good we are, or how much we think we've done for God, or how much our family is liked in church. No, we trust only in Jesus and his perfect sacrifice for us at the cross. And then, trusting in Jesus to make us children of God, we must behave like children of God. But how do children of God behave? Well, firstly, let's not complicate it. It's very simple. If God is our Father, then we relate to him as children. We trust in him. We enjoy his love for us. We sense his smile upon us, and we rest in his gracious kindness to us. We remember it's not about us, it's about him. And then secondly, we pursue the family likeness. People will often look at a child and say something like, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, or there's no mistaking who his father is. In other words, in the way in which a child behaves, or in the way they look, we see something of their parents in them. That they belong to a family with certain characteristics that other members of the family also share. It should be the same for us as children of God. People should look at us and see how God has impacted our behaviour and our relationships. Trusting in God as Father should make us more patient, humble, caring, compassionate, because that is who God our Father is. And people should look at us and see how God has transformed our fears and our concerns and our ponderings about the future. Trusting in God our Father means that we've nothing to fear and our future is secure because Jesus has defeated death and sin at the cross and secured for us an eternal home. When God is our Father, we are his children, and it will transform us. And others will see that change in us. But always remember, we don't start with changed behaviour, with changed relationships or fears. We start by believing we're children of God through the Son of God. Jesus is the greatest gift. That's what the boys and girls have told us. That's what we've heard in God's word. Jesus coming to earth changes everything. It should change us. When we trust in Jesus, he makes us children of God and sets us free to live life to the full. Following Jesus isn't just about not going to hell or getting to heaven. Following Jesus is about being made children of God and then living the way life is supposed to be lived, both now and for eternity. So this Christmas, let's remember that Jesus is the greatest gift, that he came to give us the greatest gift. And let us trust in him and know the ultimate blessing of being children of God. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that in Jesus we address you as Father. That you love us with a love that we can't fully comprehend. That you see all our faults and feelings and fears, and yet in Christ you love us, you forgive us, and you set us free. Father, we pray that as we receive you in faith through Jesus, you would help us to be your children and then to live like your children, trusting in you, enjoying your love, embracing the fullness of life you give, and living a life worthy of our loving Father. Father, at this Christmas time, help us to remember that Jesus is the greatest gift and to remember all that he's done for us so that we might do everything for him. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to respond to God now as we give our gifts, our tithes and offerings that will be received by the children.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for the offerings given to us today by the congregation. Bless those who have given to us, and we ask that you accept these gifts given. We present these offerings to you now, not out of obligation, but as an act of worship and devotion. We thank you as well as Christmas approaches soon this week, symbolizing the birth of your Son, Jesus. Lord, as we celebrate, we remember those for whom this season is difficult. We pray for families experiencing loss, for those who are sick, lonely at this time, and for the homeless, and those in areas of conflict. Bring them your peace, comfort, and help through your hands.
We pray for those who are unable to come to the Nativity service today. Make sure they are able to celebrate Jesus over Christmas. Thank you for bringing the children here today and for the support from the congregation. We thank you for the sick and that they would feel better. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to close our time together then by singing our final piece, Holy Forever. Just a reminder that today there's no tea and coffee after the service, but there will be a festive treats after the choral service this evening at 4 o'clock. Let's stand and praise God.
Thank you.
close with these words. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Christ Jesus our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
You're right.